We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
What does Theo Epstein want? How does he want Joe Madden to respond? How does he want Tommy Hotovy to respond? What's the way to express appropriate urgency about the bullpen sucking out loud, letting two games against a bad team go kablooey on you?
I don't know that Joe Madden has answers right now. You can make your lineups, and as long as they're hitting well and providing offense against a team that doesn't pitch all that well, you put up a whole bunch of runs, you lost two of three. That's urgency. They've done their work. If Joe Madden's decisions are all bring in the next guy who can walk the next guy, what urgency do you have? This is kind of the worst spot for a team that's demanded accountability and urgency from itself.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We need Joe Sheehan today. This is a perfect day.
Today's that day.
We need a stiff dose of Joe Sheehan's baseball reality, and we got to sort of recenter this thing at the moment. Just recalibrate, recenter, find our center.
They got to do it first.
Yeah, he's going to help us do that around 10. After that, we've got the midday midway at 10:20. Got some surprises along the way as well. And your surprise will be when you hear the Pat Hughes cue to call and you are caller 6 to the contest line.
The contest line.
312-591-6700. Then you can qualify for the final event for Cubs season tickets, April 4th at 1-2 Pru, presented by Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. We are going to be having that back-to-baseball rally, and that is going to be Thursday, April 4th. It's all of us. It's Mully and Haw. It's us. It's Lawrence. It's McNeil and Parkins at 1-2 Pru, and we're going to be hanging out talking baseball, special guests, fun activities, and it's all presented by Redemption Rye Whiskey. Rye is back. Mm. And so is baseball. Get your Redemption rye whiskey or bourbon today. It's good stuff. I got a bottle in my locker.
Yes. Well, one's in my backpack. I plan on taking it home and perhaps perusing its samples.
I would like. I don't know much about rye whiskey, so you're going to have to be my Sherpa.
It's the right way to make a whiskey sour, in my opinion. A little rye whiskey, a little Redemption rye in there. That's a good way to get started. Could use a couple of those after last night's affair.
312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Texting at 67011. You send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app for your opportunity to stream The Score on your mobile devices and interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Brian Gertz, the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers, on a day that has Cubs fans understandably unhappy, but I can't let myself be stupid about the recency effect. Teams go through bad stretches. Teams have awful games. It so happens the Cubs have just had one of those three awful games in game four of the season.
They've had three bad games in a row now. You're 0-3, and I guess in the last three. And I suppose what's most disheartening about this is that while you spent the entire offseason concerned and pressing, really pressing, on the offense, on young, burgeoning superstars to become actual stars in Major League Baseball, Schwarber, Almora, Baez got there last year, Wilson Contreras, all these guys, they're all hitters. So while you do that and press on those guys and don't get results from starters that you just gave extensions to, guys who have otherwise been steady, dudes that you gave $126 million to who can't find the plate, that puts a halt to any kind of good feeling that you had put together over the, at least from the outside, any kind of good feeling that you put together over the spring training.
We knew that they were going to stand pat and put the pressure on these guys, right? That was it. And Theo said it. And whether or not you think that he was passive-aggressively pointing at budget issues or the whole thing, it's on him because he decided to sign Hayward. He decided to sign Darvish. He decided to sign Chatwood. So if, in fact, ownership said, you made your bed here.
Look at these other signings. We just this money's there. And to the other half of the Cubs crowd that is begging for a signing like Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel, I guess, or to have signed Manny Machado or to have signed Bryce Harper, which of the three, you know what I'm saying? Like the issues at hand here aren't solved by any one of those signings. And you're only going to get one. I mean, even in the actual reality that we live in of you could sign both Harper and Machado. You know, you could pay the tax.
We know that.
Pay the penalty. You could actually financially fit these guys under some sort of budget. They don't solve the issues that you've seen in three games here. That's what we talked about with Sahadov yesterday. These three games have been the worst fears come to life for the Cubs. The worst fear wasn't really everybody having the same offensive start as the last 40 games of last season. That really wasn't it. It was anything that could sabotage the efforts that had gone on this spring. Anything that undercuts that kind of renewed focus, that kind of extra time spent. The busiest offseason Theo said he's ever had. It's the stuff that happens outside of those preparations that undercut that very preparation that really hurts.
Well, this is the struggle right now. The struggle is to not be stupid. The struggle is to be able to calculate how bad this is and understand what it means to have stumbled out of the gate. And this is a stumble out of the gate.
Oh, absolutely.
Yesterday really sucked. I am not minimizing that at all. But I do know that baseball seasons are not defined by any four-game stretch, any five-game stretch, sometimes any 10-game stretch. They're just not.
That's absolutely true. And it has to remain true with this team. I mean, they're still playing that. It's just you watch. Yeah, this is from the 217. The Cubs made six errors yesterday. How is any starting pitcher supposed to win with that bad defense? It wasn't just the errors. I mean, Hendricks goes 0-2 to the leadoff man in Ciarte. He gets the pop-up to the left side, and Zagunas comes and clanks the thing off the mitt. And then 0-2 is a... I always
do this.
I
don't know
what that was. 0-2 is just right down the pipe. And you can't make that pitch 0-2. You can't let that affect you. And Kyle knows that. And I'd probably bet on him 9 times out of 10 to not let that affect him. And maybe it even didn't. Maybe that's just a bad pitch at a worse time. But that ball was tattooed. And you had a whole bunch of compounded. We talked about it in transition. The error that Javi makes going back behind shortstop, I'm fairly convinced that that happens because of Zagunas' error. Javi goes back. He makes a demonstrative call to demand that baseball. It's not his by the time he gets about three quarters of the way out there. That's a call that a confident left fielder comes in, waves off the infielder on, tells him to get the hell out of there.
I mean, the baseball rule is the guy coming in has the better angle on it, has the easier play, the better percentage play of the guy moving back regardless.
Apparently, unless the guy coming in is a dude that made an error 9 seconds ago and is a rookie, and is going up against necessarily Javier Baez, who is a gold glove guy, who makes that kind of play more times than not, too. It's that kind of compounding stuff that, on the one hand, it's comforting to know, like to really truly know that that's a clubhouse that can handle this kind of thing from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah, Texter says, aren't we having the same conversations we had last year with this team? It's not a good sign. No, it's not the same conversations for a reason that's been imposed on us. We'll get to that. Bernstein and McKnight talking about the stumbling Cubs to start the year. It wasn't supposed to happen this way, and the recency effect, in this case the primacy and recency effect, are in play because of what the person in charge of the baseball operation said. And this has been imposed. I don't like it. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I don't like it. I know what he's trying to accomplish. I know that he's sending a message to Joe Maddon. But if we're going to sort of fight this out with these kinds of code words and philosophical clashes, it's hard to have a team. It's hard to tell them to go harder, care more, put in more time, be more attentive, be sharper. I'm not saying it's causal. I'm not saying that this thing is cracking.
Right.
It's just a bad look.
So, I don't know. Let's test that theory a little bit. Is it possible that we, the observers of the Cubs, are the only ones putting into place Theo's words and then juxtaposing that over the failures here? Is it possible that the way that things got said, that they got talked about, that they were responded to over the offseason? I'm talking about just the baseball things, not necessarily the stuff outside the lines or outside the ballpark that got written about and discussed quite a bit with this team that does affect the offseason some, or at least how I look at it. But is it possible that this team, you know, you hear Jed and Theo talk so much about how they know these players more than they've known any. They were at Rizzo's wedding, for God's sake. Like, that just, that doesn't happen with a lot of GMs and players. It's not, they're not going to Mark Zagunas' wedding when he gets hitched. Is he hitched? Is Zagunas married? We didn't know that yet.
I think Schwarber's next, right?
I think Schwarber's next. I don't know if Zagunas is. He might not be on the major league team long enough for us to find out much about him. Here's the thing about the way that reacts, though, inside the clubhouse and inside of a front office like this. If they believe that what they've put on that team is enough for them to handle and is something that they can handle internally and are able to spread that kind of leadership and accountability around so that nobody has to bear one or too much of any one thing, then they're fine. That's the inside of a clubhouse, like, the perception is reality for these guys. They get to live in this small little bubble where nothing has to break through if they don't let it. It's this strange, strange ecosystem.
That's also depending on how much of a shell Joe Maddon decides to build around his clubhouse. And that was punctured by the fact that Theo and Jed said, no, we're officing in the clubhouse now. Remember? There's a literal physical aspect to this. And even though they tried to push back against the story in The Athletic, that's how Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney did.
Yeah.
That when you have them policing, you know, where are you on the line for the anthem? Are you in the dugout? And them saying, we're literally going to be around more. We are going to use an office that's right here. That doesn't necessarily allow Joe to build his foxholes. To get that set up in that way, you've sort of broken that down, and the hiring of Mark Loretta being split between loyalties to front office and to manager. He is not just a foot soldier of the manager. He is working directly with Theo and Jed, where this is becoming in some ways really untenable. I do think it's a difficult puzzle to get all of these tumblers to click just right.
This is from the 703. Calm down. You guys have been teaching me for decades not to overreact to small sample sizes, especially in baseball. Not concerned whatsoever. If this happened in July, it would barely be discussed. I would argue that if it happens in July while the Brewers are untouchable and Christian Yelich is absolutely fantastic, it would still be discussed. It might not be under these terms. It's bizarre, though, that you're right. The stuff that these guys have said that makes an approach untenable is the stuff that grinds at the authority, at the mindset of Joe Maddon, right? The stuff that they've asked him to change, that he's mentioned wanting to change, that he's going to be around and coach more and whatnot. But the three losses here, what of these three losses can you pin on Joe? Playing Mark Zagunas? Is that quite literally the one thing that you can pin on the guy?
Having Zobrist in left late.
Okay, two things. And if you change those two things, does it turn around the entire ball game in any one of those three? It doesn't. It doesn't. Kyle Schwarber wasn't going to fix Kyle Hendricks' pitching.
No, don't interpret what I'm saying as necessarily blaming Joe.
No, I just think the one fighting the other, the fact that you've gotten off to this foot, that we've all watching this team gotten off to this foot of, oh my God, is the philosophy even right? When really what we've watched is a whole bunch of bad pitching.
Yeah.
That no philosophy can fix.
Yeah, I guess my point was, you can set up a manager and to at least give him the us against them possibility. Not meaning the media or not meaning opponents, but you can set up a dynamic by which you bad cop, good cop it, and you allow Maddon the space to say, you know, maybe he gets the players here and goes, yeah, hey, look, you know, Theo wants us to be all this, this, and this, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just let's do what we always do. I trust you. I know you better than anybody knows you. We're going to be fine. But when they're literally taking even that out of his quiver by being in the clubhouse, by having this increased presence, it just, you know, it feels heavy. The Cubs experience at the moment just feels heavy.
Yeah.
And when you say it's October, you're owning that. And what happened to Joe's whole one, own it now slogan, and own is one, and like,
T-shirts happen when you win, man. T-shirts happen when you win.
Right?
You know, that kind of stuff needs results. That kind of stuff needs W's. That kind of stuff needs good pitching and good hitting and good defense. That's what it takes to put that kind of stuff out there. It takes that kind of invincible feeling. There's a way they can turn this around. I mean, it's just by being them, by being the Cubs team that everybody sees this as being. One that's going to have to fight for an NL Central that got a hell of a lot better, but certainly one that's much better than what you saw in the first four games.
Want to know what you think and how you are reconciling these feelings. We know not to get stupid about this. Yet we're kind of being told why we're supposed to be stupid about this. I don't like it. It's really uncomfortable for me. I don't like being put in this position one bit. Yet here we are. 312-644-6767. I want to hear what you think as we look forward to Joe Sheehan, a much-needed session with him, a skull session at the top of the hour coming your way on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
From SunTrust Park in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Pope opener, and the series is between the Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves.
There's a fly ball to shallow left, racing over Zagunas. Does he have a play? Drops the ball. It was a catchable play. Zagunas actually overran it. Ground ball to Rizzo. He'll go to second. They get one. Baez to first. That is a wild throw. Slowly hits Rizzo. Loves it, bobbles it, and then throws the ball away.
Off of Hendricks' gloves, it ricochets off to the right. Tony scoops it up, bounces the throw to no one in particular.
Smashed a third. Bobbled by Bryant. He will have no play. Another error.
More defensive issues for the Cubs.
Give me that saxophone, foreigner. Bring it on. Oh, yeah. That's, that better be the worst game of the year.
It
right?
needs to be.
Right?
It that has desperately. To
be, that better be the worst game of the year.
Desperately needs to be. All right, let's laugh just April, a little bit. We'll get to a couple of phone calls. You want to scream about the Cubs? Be happy to do so. That was the first game since 2006 the Cubs have made six errors in. You want some names? You want some fun names?
I do. Give me the year.
2006, they made six errors in a 9-8 win. That's the last time the Cubs had six. This was an 11-inning game, however.
Okay, I want to go back to the 9-inning game.
I got all three of them. I got three games in which the Cubs, I have the game in which they last made six errors, 2006. Okay. They won 9-8.
Had to be innings. Soriano on the
in crow hop. In 1982, you had a 12-10 win in a 9-inning game. And then in 1965, that was the last time the Cubs committed six errors while losing in a shutout. So, your
2006. You got all
Joe
the errors?
Joy. Yeah. 06. You had three by Freddie Bynum.
Ooh, fast Freddie Bynum.
You had one by Derek Lee. You had one by an outfielder who was frequently known to spike throws from the outfield into the outfield before they got into the infield, Jock Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had one by Cesar Isturiz. Cesar Isturiz is the final answer there. You want the 1982 game?
82 was Boa here? I believe
yes.
Boa was the shortstop.
A pair of boots by Larry Boa in that game in 1982. You had one player with three errors.
Okay, what position?
That guy. Gold Glover. Big time. Hall of Famer.
Sandberg?
Rhino. made three errors in this game. The other one was made by Bump Wills.
Bump Wills, son of Maury.
Wills.
And bad.
1965, yeah, you go back to that game, they lost 6-0 in a shutout. They lost in a shutout, making six errors. And this is the one
Popovich
where there are actually six Popovich players with an error, each of them, individuals. Glenn Beckert, Billy Williams, Don Kessinger, Ed Bailey, Jimmy Stewart, and Doug Clemens. All of them.
Antoine Fats Domino.
And the horse that rode in on them.
Wow.
All of them with errors. That is your cavalcade.
That's a historic day yesterday. That better be the worst game of the year, or we're all going to die.
What a horrible baseball game.
Actually, we're all going to die anyway.
Probably.
Billy in Des Plaines, you're on the score on Bernstein and McKnight.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine.
Good. Thank you for playing that fun little soundbite coming back from the break to break my heart all over again.
Yeah, that's me to help. That's Rick Camp. Happy to do it.
Yep. I kind of wanted to echo what Connor was saying before the break of feeling like part of the what makes it feel like this heavy crisis is the fact that or at least for you guys have to cover this day in, day out. I just started listening to your radio show probably like six months ago or so.
Well, where you been? Wait, come on, man.
I'm sorry. I rarely had listened to sports radio before it, and I needed something, and you guys are the ones I chose.
So hello. God bless you, and thanks.
Yes.
No problem. But hearing you guys talk about it day in and day out, I feel like I feel that weight just by listening to you guys. So I wonder if people aren't listening to you, if they feel that same weight about it. Because as I watched that game last night, I wanted to turn it off after the second inning because my heart was in my shoes watching what was going on. But I wonder in the past when I've watched their games, especially this early in the season, I would feel bad about it, but I don't think I would have felt so demoralized.
I totally get what you're saying, Billy, and thank you for becoming a loyal listener. It's always gratifying to hear.
You.
But, you know, I think it's sort of – I take it as my responsibility – to try to view the team the way the people in charge are viewing things. I just think I have to do it. That it's not just like, oh, hooray, let's look at it from a fan's perspective. We only go by what this very open and transparent management team has said. They've never lied. The moment Theo Epstein walked through that door, he told you what he was going to do, how he was going to do it, what expectations were, etc.
One time. Told you Edwin Jackson was a piece on a future team, a future winner.
Yeah, I don't think that's a lie as much as it is.
Yeah, that's not a lie.
He's not lying.
That's
being wrong.
Everybody knew that wasn't going to happen.
That was just wrong. I don't think he acted like, watch what I'm going to tell him this.
He's never lied, Edwin Jackson. Well,
it's a bad
one
signing,
lie.
And I got it wrong, but it's not a lie. I just think we have a responsibility to when they say from the very top, that April is or March, October starts in March, and mm-hmm. and he tells us that this consistent theme of urgency. They're telling us to look at it that way. I'm not saying I like it. I'm not saying it's working. I'm not saying it's there's a real discomfort here between Epstein and Madden.
Right,
it really is. It's all real. So I'm not. This isn't some made up. Media imposition here.
This isn't Schrodinger's urgency. It's not a situation where if we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. But if we do talk about it, it does exist.
Schrodinger's urgency.
You lift the box and all of a sudden the cat is dead or something. There's a laser or radioactive. However you want to play your psychology experiment. It's not that. It's not this thing that we speak into existence. Not this time. There are plenty of things that sports talk radio just speaks into existence and tries to make real that fall flat on their faces. That happens because media and life and stuff. But this is something that was set down by the front office. It's something that was set down in terms of their expectations, and everyone from Theo to Joe to Hendricks to Mark Zagunas, whenever he talks, will probably talk about this philosophy and this culture change.
Dr. Schrodinger, the cat is gone. No, it has been replaced by the urgency. The cat has become very urgent. Jim is in Beecher, and he's on the score. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, guys. Happy Tuesday. My thought on this is, Dan, I agree with you, 100% when I first turned the radio on, and the subject matter was, what you guys were talking about. And that is, with the proclamations by Theo going back to last fall and, you know, currently going on about the sword of Damocles and the sense of urgency and all that, has he, and I'll use the term unwittingly, put the team and the manager in a no-win situation in that, well, if the Cubs get off to a 12-3 start, let's say, well, hey, that's where they're supposed to be anyway. So, hey, that's what we're expecting, so be it. But it's kind of tough to live up to that, so it almost seems like this team has nowhere to go, kind of, sort of, but down, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, I do.
I get it. At the same time, they're still,
you know what I mean?
They're supposed to be a damn good baseball team.
Right.
I mean, read the names. You know, read the backs of the collected baseball cards. They're supposed to be a damn good baseball team. Joe Sheehan and others have looked at this team and thought, hey, that's a pretty damn good ball club. At the very least, they should be able to hit and pitch to a 90-win clip.
And my guess is that Joe Sheehan still thinks that. And we will find out exactly what he thinks, because he joins this show Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, which means he is next. Don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.